Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to Sinqia's earnings release conference for the second quarter of 2020. Today with us, we have Bernardo Gomes, our CEO, Leo Monte, Marketing and Innovation Director, Thiago Rocha, our CFO, and RI, José Leoni, our RI Manager, Daniel Feschi, and Financial Manager, and Olavo Aires, our IR Analyst. We would like to inform that this event is recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, press star zero to reach the operator. Today's event is also a live webcast. The company's release and presentation may be accessed through the website at ri.sinqia.com.br. Site selection is controlled by you. Now I will turn over to Mr. Bernardo, who will begin the presentation. You may begin the conference. Good afternoon. I thank you for your participation in our earnings release conference, and I will start my presentation by slide number two. Just to summarize, we show you that even with an adverse scenario, we were able to deliver excellent results this quarter, confirming the resilience of our business and also the consistency of our strategy. Talking about sales, we had an excellent quarter with a highlight for May, which was the second-best month in the company's history. The sales have been very good and will contribute for future growth of the company. I would also like to highlight an investment of 9.5% in our portfolio, confirming the importance of our solutions in the financial market. Our software, even in a challenging scenario, is essential for the continuation of our business. This has an impact on the low churn observed in the last quarter, even with a complex scenario, a challenging scenario. Our software is still essential to our clients. Talking about the results, we had a quarter full of records. We have revenues which were 17.5% higher than in the same period in the previous year. The recurring revenues had an increase of 23.2% versus 2019, and the adjusted EBITDA was 44.8% higher than quarter-over-quarter last year. Adjusted cash earning was also much higher than in the previous year, and we reached 2.6 million real. These results only confirm what I said in the beginning. Our business is very resilient. We have a very consistent strategy. Our business is based on software, which are essential to our clients. Even in a moment of crisis, they cannot go without our software. They are relevant for the continuation of businesses. In association, our strategy, where we privilege recurring revenue, allowed us to reach 87.8% of a recurrence rate, which provides us good predictability, allowing for the continuity of the acquisition strategy in our current market. Proof of this is our acquisition strategy. Last week, we disseminated the purchase of Itaú, the most relevant in the history of the company. With that, we start a new cycle of acquisition, which started recently, and I'm sure that this is the first in a series of acquisitions. In the beginning of this year, we also started a new investment program for emerging companies. We will talk about it in details later on, but this program already has 6 investments, and we believe that this is the future of the financial market. So right now, in a moment of crisis, we are making good use, and we're trying to accelerate our strategy even further. In this slide, I would also like to highlight that we use this moment to accelerate innovations. We have started our solutions for instant payment at our central bank. We launched the first product that was developed at our innovation lab. It is called Plugi. It is for negotiation of canceled quotas of consortium. We also use this moment to expand our services for digital transformation of our clients. I would like to highlight that in addition to the excellent outcomes of this quarter, we gave important steps that will guarantee continued results to our business. And moving on to the next slide now, slide number 3, I would like to tell you how we quickly adapted to the new remote working scenario. In the beginning of the year, we already had a home office program implemented for our employees. So we called it Move to Flex. At that time, even before the pandemic, we had approximately 15 to 20% of our employees working once or twice a day at home. With the beginning of the pandemic in early March, we adapted ourselves and expanded this program to 100% of our employees and to 100% of the time. Today, we can say that we have 100% of our employees working 100% in home office. We had to adapt our routines and our management routines. On the other hand, we were able to go through the most critical phase of the pandemic, preserving the health of our employees, keeping the same levels of productivity, satisfaction. And as a consequence, in this period, we had better indicators and higher satisfaction levels from the beginning of the pandemic with highest ENPS and lower turnover rates. Also, as a consequence of the pandemic and social distancing, we had a decrease to almost zero level expenses with travel, accommodation, and events. I would like to highlight here that we adapted very quickly to this scenario. I would say that we are conducting our businesses the same way or even better than we did before the pandemic. And now, moving on to slide number 4, I would like to highlight that in this period, we also helped our clients get ready for this moment. The digital transformation, which with the pandemic was no longer a marketing speech and became a competitive differential, the companies in this period saw how important it was to have this transformation in the way they conduct their operations. And I think that the companies that were more advanced in this digital transformation process did better through this period. The companies that had more automated
Leo, our Director of Marketing and Innovation, to talk to you a little bit after slide number 5. He will talk about our innovation program. So, Leo, I turn over to you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much. I am Lamonte. I am happy to be here to talk about innovation and about what we have been developing. As you all know, we're going through a transition moment with a lot of transformations in our market. This is a very promising moment, and perhaps one of the most promising of all times, with a lot of possibilities. As a company that has a DNA of innovation, we have to be very watchful to all of these changes in technology and also in business, new business models. It is a pleasure to announce here to you that not only have we expanded investments in innovation, but also I would like to tell you a little bit of our launches. Moving on to slide 6, we had the official launching of PIX. We combined the innovation area to be able to deliver instant payment as a service. We are one of the few bank technology providers that were able to obtain Bacen's license to offer PIX as a service. Furthermore, we have two strategic partnerships to make our performance even better. I'm talking here about Microsoft and Google. We also have activity that was started by our marketing team, and that's had an impact in the position we've had in the last few months. In slide number 7, PIX is going to be one of the main changes we will see in the Brazilian market from now on, along with the open bank. We have a long way to go, including different sizes of players to be able to deliver or develop innovating solutions. On the left side of this slide, we can see the official number of 980 institutions that have been involved in the first phase of our PIX. This only shows the potential we have inside and outside our portfolio. We're talking about a high demand for our providers, and that provides a huge opportunity for revenue. We are now working with approximately 50 potential clients. In slide number 8, really, the second quarter was amazing. We were very watchful to the novelties in the market, but we were also very watchful to opportunities of new models, which resulted from the activities held by our innovations lab that helped us understand opportunities to deliver an innovating platform to manage consortia. The platform is 100% online, and the administrators plug in our artificial intelligence, understand what quotas were canceled and where the potential negotiation lies. The platform is made available, and with that, we can see the quotas and start negotiating with the administrators. This is done 100% online, end-to-end, including the survey, negotiation, until a formalization of the negotiation and the transfer of the quota. This is all done safely, in a simple manner, providing benefits to all participants. On the right side of the slide, we have the administrator, which improves the financial health of the groups. It is possible to balance the group once again, and for funds, it increases the speed and the safety of operations. For consolidated clients, it speeds up the recovery of the amount invested. And for Sinqia, it expands the product portfolio, revenues potentials via the take rate. In slide 9, we have an innovating solution with a huge financial potential. On the left side of the slide, we can see that we have about 7 million canceled quotas, adding up over 50 billion BRLs. And this is before the pandemic. This has probably expanded. We started with 6 administrators already plugged, and they represent a total of 4,291 negotiable canceled quotas. Our artificial intelligence understand that there's potential negotiation with the funds, and that comprises 147 million BRLs in the financial amount open for negotiation. In other words, the financial size is very large with 6 administrators, and we will quickly expand that. In slide 10, in addition to the launch I just talked about, I'd like to share with you our open innovation model. With this innovation strategy, we can invest in emerging technologies and accelerate our business. With that, we have inaugurated this startup investment by means of Darwin. We evaluated over 300 startups. We invested in 6 of them, bringing more technology to our portfolio, emerging technology, top-notch technology. I have some examples here, such as banking as a service, artificial intelligence, RPA, automation, robot advisors, cybersecurity, and also operational efficiency. In slide 11, in addition to investments, we invested in new M&A trails. And I'm now going to turn over. Thank you, Leo. Good afternoon, everyone. For those who are here listening to us, in slide 11, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what is changing. We are opening new M&A trails. You know that Sinqia has been consolidating the market for some years. The process has been very successful. It started with trail one of mature companies whose objective is to expand our portfolio, our customer, our product portfolio, our customer portfolio, and the segments served, which are usually connected to acquisitions of sub-vertical things, including pension, consortium. In addition to that, non-banks, FI, and insurance. We also have an acquisition of control as a model and a track record of 15 acquisitions. This trail has a huge potential, a revenue of 4 million BRL, and it's ready to be consolidated and goes on as it was. Then we have the acceleration where we have made investments, as Leo has just mentioned. But what is new? The two trails in the middle. We had to fill in this gap. We know that we're going through a lot of transformations in the last few years. The solo financial product is no longer a prerogative of financial institutions. The sales of product is no longer done on site. And we have some specific technologies that enable us to have this transformation. With that in mind, we open these two new trails. We have our initiative. What changes? Our objectives change. We're talking about innovative technologies and disruptive models, which will be included in the future of financial services. This means that we will have software for white label banking, BaaS, open banking, API integration platforms that use the artificial intelligence in business financial programs, and also solutions for digital transformation. In these two cases, we have different models. In the case of emerging companies, we have an acquisition of control or minority interest aiming at obtaining control and incorporation in the future. In the case of our CVC initiative, we will do it by means of co-investment with VC funds. These funds will lead to a financial validation. And of course, Sinqia intends to contribute with strategic innovation, leveraging from a technical point of view. And therefore, we have even more opportunities to work. And my expectation is that this inorganic growth will be even faster from now on. So moving on to slide 12. It's important to say that we continue to deliver our plan. Last week, we announced the acquisition of ISP. We opened a fifth acquisition, and as Bernardo mentioned, it was the largest one made by Sinqia so far. We are very enthusiastic about this announcement. This acquisition was based on the expanding of the product portfolio. We already had a complete software portfolio for the management of the assets, in other words, investments, also for assets and pension contribution, and also ISP. So what is new? We have a software which is functionally complete. It runs 100% in the cloud. It's very updated from a technological point of view. It is an excellent platform for us to converge all of our products and clients over time. The second one is to expand the client portfolio. Even more important than the quantity is the quality. Most of these consumers are related to the Itaú conglomerate, first line consumers. Now, talking about the impact of this acquisition to Sinqia, we had a gross revenues of $15 million in the last few months. And when that is combined to Sinqia's revenue of 16.9, we can see in a single acquisition an increase of 23%, which is very representative. ISP will have a significant impact as of now. Regarding the EBITDA, this we will separate it from other Itaú's operations. We estimate that we will have an estimated EBITDA of 20 to 25%. And we may even go beyond the 25% in face of the way we intend to run this business. And therefore, from a point of view of margin, this will help us reach our midterm objective to increase our consolidated EBITDA. And finally, talking about the structure of the transaction, it's very interesting. The price is 82 million BRLs, representing a multiple EV gross revenue, according to the parameters that we ran. It ranged from 0.9 to 1.9 for a post-IPO EV in sales multiples and extended payment with 33.6 million BRLs of 41% in cash and 9.7 million or 59% in installments. So you will see that after the payment of the cash payment, the results will be even better. We had Sinqia's assembly, we had Itaú's cut out, and number three, we have the approval of CADE. We expect that in the next 30 or 90 days, this will all be concluded. And now, moving on to slide number 13. In addition to the inorganic growth, we had organic growth. We had significant organic growth in the third quarter. And when we look at the portfolio, we can see a final figure of 100 and C2.4 billion. And you can see that there was a 10% increase when compared to the first quarter of this year. This was made possible because we had solid business negotiations in March and April. We had a little bit of a freeze, but it was very good, and it was enough to allow us to recover between the quality of our client portfolio, product portfolio, and the solidity of our recurring product. This is a very positive result. We have grown two digits in a moment of crisis where inflation is close to zero. Makes us very happy right now. In slide 14, we continue to grow revenues in the crisis. Our total net revenue reached 192.6. And the two businesses have grown. In the case of software, the growth was of 18%, reflecting the implementations held in the first half of the year. Our implementation team is working at full speed. And in case of the services, the growth was of 16.4%. We can see a lot of opportunities right now, and as Bernardo mentioned, the digital transformation, which was a trend, is now an emergency. Our clients are moving around, so is the market, and we're here to help. We've seen new clients coming into our base and have allowed us to increase our services. On the right side, we can see the recurring revenue with a growth of 0.2%. Please note that we had a difference in the mix here. Recurring revenues are becoming more representative, which is very good in a moment like this, with an economic turbulence reaching almost 40% of our recurring revenue, which makes us or puts us in a very relaxing position. In slide 15, in addition to the growth I just mentioned, we had increased gross profit. You can see here on the slide, we had a growth of 35.3%. We reached a margin of 33.8% with a gain of 4.4 percentage points. In the two businesses, this was observed in software. We had a growth of gross profit of 34% and the margin reached 39%. And that's because we had new revenue coming in. The revenue is growing fast. And we have margins that are increasing, even if we still have some pressure of the compensation price. We still have an implementation team, which is very large, to be able to carry through the backlog. In services, we had an increase of our gross profit of 40.9%, and the gross margin reached 22%. And once again, in outsourcing, we can see the digital transformation. We have new squad offers. This offer has higher added value because we have representation in the mix. The service margin is going up. In slide 16, we were also able to have diluted expenses. We had total of 9.9 million in the quarter with an increase of 4.4%. And therefore, we were able to dilute expenses, and they represent 19.1% of our revenue. When we break down the volume, we can see the commercial expenses and marketing, which added 2.7 million. There was an increase of 3.4%, and they represent 5.5% of our revenue. Here, in terms of marketing and commercial expenses, on one side, we this is the only expense that we like to acknowledge at SYNC, the expenses regarding commissions. On the other side, the expenses with fairs and events have gone down because the events we usually participate in were canceled this year, and therefore everything is going fine. and we are growing at a controlled level. When we analyze the general and administrative expenses, they grew 4.9%, representing 13.6% of our revenue. As I said, it's very controlled. In the beginning of the pandemic, we made a commitment with our employees that we would not reduce their salary and the number of employees. And of course, to be able to honor this commitment, we have been very careful with increasing the number of our employees, especially support employees. We have renegotiated some contracts, and we are also aiming at reducing our expenses, travel expenses, because of remote work, as Bernardo mentioned. So all of this combined has allowed us to dilute expenses with a higher revenue level. In slide 17, we have delivered a new EBITDA record. As you can see here, we reached a margin of 14.9% with an expressive gain of 2.8 points of the margin. And EBITDA is a new record. It makes us happy. And also, for the adjusted cash earnings, we reached 9.8 million this quarter. And the profit has followed the EBITDA growth. In slide 18, our balance sheet remains solid in the second quarter. Our gross cash breakdown, we closed it the quarter with a 336.3 billion BRL. It was stable. Even in this scenario, we decreased our gross debt, and we also had amortization according to our plans. As a consequence, we have a net cash of 260 million BRLs with an increase of 14 million BRL, which is enough for us to move on with the consolidation process at an accelerated pace. See that if we had paid ISE in the second quarter, our gross revenue would remain above this level, which is very comfortable. Moving on to slide 19, I would like to mention in this quarter that our balance was also not impacted for default. Our accounts receivable closed at 23.4 billion. We can see that the overdue balance also decreased, which is very encouraging and proves the strength of our client portfolio, including financial institutions of large and medium sizes. Our clients will be there, they will continue paying, and we can keep a very solid balance in terms of accounts receivable. And now I would like to turn back to Bernardo for his final consideration. I am now in slide 20. At the end of our presentation, I would like to reinforce that this quarter only confirms that we have a unique company combining growth and resilience with a consistent and well-executed strategy. Our clients are first-line clients. They demand technology. Our products are essential products for our clients to keep their businesses. We have a model which generates a high level of recurrence, and it allows us to carry out our plans. We have had a consistent strategy with a lot of discipline. Going on to slide 21, this makes us very confident that we are ready to deliver continuous results. Our software guarantees that we will be able to expand our portfolio in the financial market with selling and upselling as huge opportunities for organic growth. We have services also. new offers complying with the digital transformation. By means of innovation, we have pursued the continuous development of our product and furthermore, see new opportunities for solutions, for business solutions, launching them in the market. And we also have a successful M&A strategy with a consolidation of our market. And as of now, we have investments in disruptive companies. We're very excited with the future of the company. We're very happy with what we've done this far. We know that what we have in the future is much better than what we have right now. In slide 22, to wrap up, I'd like to reinforce our objective, which is boost the financial market by connecting companies and people to the future. This is my final message, and we're now going to open for Q&A. And once again, I thank you all for your presence here with us. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're now going to start our Q&A session for investors and analysts. In case you have any questions, please press star 1. If your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from line by dialing star 2. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. We kindly ask you to lift your phone so that we can have optimal sound quality. I would also like to remind you that you can ask via webcast. Please wait while we collect questions. Once again, to ask questions, press star 1 or use our webcast page. Please wait while we collect questions. Once again, to ask questions, please press star 1 or use our webcast page. Please wait while we collect questions. Our next question is from Mr. Luis. Do you have any software to control taxes and portfolio for physical persons? Oh, hi, Luis. Good afternoon. This is Thiago speaking. Thank you for your question. Right now, Luis, on the control of investment portfolio, I'm talking about a portfolio that includes physical persons, but also we have a software that is sold to institutions, for administrators, controllers, and investment funds managers. Being very objective, yes, we do have a software that allows the control of the different portfolio. It is not sold directly to physical persons. It is sold to institutions, which are part of the fund investment chain, and they in turn use our software to meet the needs of physical persons that are their own clients. Our next question is from Mr. Mateus. How much does Sinqia has ready for new acquisitions? Do you want to capture more resources from the market? Hello, Mateus. Thank you very much for your question. Right now, when we look at the balance for the second quarter, we can see a gross cash of 363 million and a net one of 360. So what we have from the second quarter, if we think of our gross cash, we have up to 3 billion BRLs to invest in acquisitions. But I'd like to remind you that we have a capacity to leverage Sinqia based on the EBITDA. We already have it. And also we have the EBITDA that includes the new acquisitions. When I considered everything together, I have an ability to invest almost 600 million real in the next few years in this consolidation process, and not only in consolidation, but also to improve our products and the service we provide our consumers. So with the cash we already have and what we can capture in the market, we have up to 600 million BRL. First, we will use what was captured in September last year, and the second step is probably to increase the leverage of the company. We would rather do it using more debt than equity. Our next question is from Mr. Roberto via webcast. How does ISP service compare to Sinqis? And what are the opportunities and synergisms that are enabled? Thank you, Roberto, for your question. Sinqis and ISP service segment is a bit different. In Sinqis, our service segment has two offers. One with the software, which is not necessarily connected to our software, and another one for consultancy. In the case of ISP, we have outsourced services, BPO, which runs based on ISP software. And therefore, in this case, we sell the service and the software together. It's a matched sale. But where is the main opportunity here? With a complementary pension world, we have a little bit over 300 of such entities in Brazil. Part of them want to buy the software and part of them does not want to buy them. The synergism would be to take them to Sinqis portfolio with a BPO offer. Next question. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Could you tell a little bit more about the fixing? I will ask Leo to help me. It's wonderful to have specialists. Can you help me? Regarding PIX, we developed two solutions. The first one is the ISP and PC, the software as a service. It will enable us to provide this technology to enable direct participants who have decided to be participants of PIP, which means that those who want to participate will need to have this technology, this infrastructure, and we are the providers and perhaps one of the few players who have been authorized by the central bank. And therefore, we'll be able to provide this technology to these companies. We're talking about 190 companies that have asked to participate, and 120 of them are direct participants. We will have new invitations by the central bank, talking about the potential of this business. This is an excellent alternative to what we know today as TED and DOC payments, be it transfer of money, payment of accounts. All of this will be transformed by means of PIX, instant payment, so that new experiences are created and these companies will need to have this technology. And this is something that we will provide to all of these entities. Our next webcast question is from Mrs. Isabella. What is the potential market that you foresee for new M&A lines? I'm sorry, for new what? New lines? New M&A lines. Oh, okay, all right. Thank you for your question. We have consolidation work to do in Trail 1, which remains. And therefore, we continue looking at opportunities from banks, pension, and consortium. And also insurances. In this universe, I can tell you that in the last few years, we had significant advancement with banks and pension funds. We need to expand in this world of funds. There are a lot of new opportunities that have come up in the recent past. And so the markets that we already are, banks, will always provide more M&A opportunities. In the case of funds, we still have a lot to complete in our product portfolio. And of course, We have the two new trails I discussed with you. These are very interesting initiatives of companies that are very creative. This is something that is only starting for Sinqia, but it will be fast. And we will try to be at a position to have future portfolio and clients. And we're now looking at 2040. Our next question is from Mr. Vicenzo. Congratulations for the excellent results. I have two questions. First one, the margin expansion was clear. I'd like to know if this will remain based on the projects that were ongoing. Number two, were there any changes in the current negotiations? Could we say that the next transactions will follow at a level of 1.5 of revenue? Thank you, Vicenzo, for your question. Regarding the first question on margin expansion, yes, we believe that there is a trend of margins based on the dynamics that I mentioned. On one hand, we have an incremental gross margin, which is higher than the average, and then on the other hand, we have costs with implementation, which will not necessarily be kept at the same level. And therefore, I believe that from the first to the third quarter, we can see this trend clearer. And I think that will continue in the third and fourth quarter. We believe that this is a trend that we're working to deliver. Regarding the next question about the valuation changes in Trail 1, the answer is no. We don't see any changes. We believe that these levels are very similar to what we had in the second cycle. Of course, each company is a different company. They all have different growth rates and different margin levels. And we also have things to consider such as quality of the product. And so this is not carved in stone. But whenever we talk about the other trails, when we have emerging companies with clearly different growth and also intangibles that are clearly differentiated, we can move away from this level a little bit. Thank you. We now close our Q&A session. In case your question hasn't been answered, please talk to our RI specialist. And I will now turn over to Mr. Bernardo for his final considerations. Thank you very much. I just wanted to reinforce my gratitude for your participation in this teleconference and tell you that our IR team is available to clarify any further questions you may have. Thank you very much. The Sinqia's teleconference for the second quarter of 2020 is now over. Please disconnect yourself.